Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, our text for today's sermon is from Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 28. I will not reread it. The message that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and need God to declare them righteous, and that this is only possible through faith in Jesus Christ, is not a message that sets well with the old Adam and with the world. In fact, the world and her preachers of profit hate the Reformation and reject our text for today. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. The final effect of the law is silence. No excuses can be given. No blaming the devil. No blaming your spouse. You can't even blame your creator. When you are actually convicted by the law of God, all that is left is your pie hole being shut. Silence brought on by guilt and despair. St. Paul writes, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. Nothing is left to say when the law does its work." A little over 503 years ago, a 32-year-old Martin Luther lived as an Augustinian monk in Wittenberg, Germany. He earned a doctorate degree, and soon after earning the doctorate, he began teaching on the Psalms and the Book of Romans. What began with Luther studying and lecturing on the Scriptures eventually led to the events that changed the Christian world as we know it. For a mere 2 years later, this naive young monk, in response to the sale of plenary indulgences, and in case you're not aware what a plenary indulgence is, if you have a copy of the Concordia, or if you want to see it, it's in the Concordia that's on the table out by the chairs in the narthex, but not during the sermon. You can wait until after church to look. But there's actually a copy of the plenary indulgence that was sold at the time of Luther. The plenary indulgence is a piece of paper signed by the Pope absolving you or a loved one or anybody you bought one for of all sins, thus making the law of God and His gospel useless. And this sale had been authorized by Pope Leo X through Albrecht, the Archbishop of Mons and Magdeburg. Right there, you know there's a problem, because no archbishop was to be archbishop over two bishoprics. He had sold it off, as he sold off parts of Germany, to the selling of these indulgences to gain his authority, to gain his power. And Leo sent a salesman, a purpose-driven, best-life-peddling, super-salesman priest named John Tetzel, who I love it when I was at seminary, they used to refer to him as the pretzel salesman, because he's so gifted at twisting the truth. Tetzel's false teaching and the plenary indulgence leads to the nailing of the 95 Theses by Luther, who couldn't believe that the church had actually authorized what this man was doing. The call for Reformation not only changed the world as we know it, the main teachings of the Reformation can be summarized by the three solas. Salvation is by grace alone, apprehended through God-given faith alone, and delivered from Scripture alone. That is sola gratia, sola fide, and sola scriptura. Later, other offshoots of the Reformation add two other solas. Sola de gloria, all glory to God alone, and sola Christus, Christ alone. These solas remind the Christian that God doesn't require my assistance or your assistance in making His grace effective. This is why the law of God has to strip us bare, every last one of us. It declares everyone guilty, as Paul writes, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means me, that means you, that means our neighbors, It means all of us, even all those wonderful little children that were running around last night getting candy. Of this, we all must plead guilty. Often we are tempted to place God's view of sin on a sliding scale, much like a professor at a university or a teacher in a class who realizes there's no hope for the class to pass the test. They don't want to dumb down the course, so they still give the test that's appropriate, but they grade it on a curve to make those who really probably should have failed the test pass the test, because it doesn't look good when the professor fails everybody. This holiness, this sliding scale, this view of holiness is false, and it will always leave the user trying to make an excuse. If you just listen for a moment, you probably hear some of those. I know I hear these all the time. Nobody's perfect. Gotta like that one, right? Who am I to judge? And then there's the ever popular but. I loved it when Pastor Meyer used to say what he used to say about the word but. If you don't remember Pastor Meyer, he was our emeritus here for 9 years. And as far as I'm concerned, his most favorite quote is this: you always have to look where you stick your butt. And that's exactly what he was talking about. If God's word has been proclaimed, there's no but at the end of that. If God's law has hit you, you don't go but. You simply be quiet and listen. These statements are all attempts to excuse or justify our own or other's sins. Rather than hear the law, repent of our sins, confess those sins, and receive absolution. God's law doesn't say try harder. Maybe you don't know this, but I came out of a different denomination than Lutheranism when I was a youth, and that denomination often said try harder. If you don't feel holy enough, you just need to try a little harder and it'll happen. Well, Jesus doesn't say on his Sermon on the Mount, you should try harder to be perfect like my Father. No, what he says is, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And so if we take God's standard seriously, we should all be trembling of the thought of being in the presence of Almighty God. We should be horrified by our sins, and the fear of getting what we deserve for our sins, which is eternal damnation. The law of God offers no time off for good intentions. God bless. These proper understandings of the commands of God's law drove Martin Luther to the point of despair. He was fearing that God was an evil prankster who requires what can't be done. As no work can make you holy before Almighty God, no prayer, no fasting, no feeling, no self-mutilation, not even dedicating your life to the service of God and His church can do it. Only one thing is needful, and that is a gift that the Holy Spirit brings as He comes in the Word and the sacraments. And it's given through these, the Word and the sacraments, and that's Jesus Christ. As St. Paul delivers the good news for us all, for all who have sinned, in the very next verse, after he condemns us all of sinning and falling short of the glory of God, he absolves us all and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This is what the Reformation is indeed all about. It's about delivering the goods, the good news of Jesus Christ, who alone lived the perfect life, died our death, and rose from the dead on the third day for our salvation. This God gives for all through the blood-bought gift of salvation that Jesus earned for us. St. Paul clearly proclaims, for we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. This message delivers our conscience from the guilt of our sin and the death penalty of the law. Now we confess that all mankind is saved by grace through faith on account of Christ. Sure, the Council of Trent damned every one of us who teaches that to hell in 1545. And it has never been retracted to this day. But that is what Christ taught. That is what Paul taught. That is what Peter taught. And that is what I will teach. All are saved by grace through faith on account of Christ alone. This faith doesn't get rid of works of the law, as some want to say. It doesn't pit Paul and James against each other. Rather, it puts our good works in their proper place. A result of faith. Our good works are only good when done in faith in Jesus Christ, and they do not merit salvation, or we would have something to boast about before God. But instead, our good works confess that we have that our faith in Jesus Christ is living and active as we seek to serve God by serving our neighbors that He brings into our life. And I know it sounds too good to be true. I know because I've been there. As a youth, the first time I heard this message, I was in shock. I kept waiting for the but. But there's not a but. The devil and our flesh, they will quickly lead us back to our own laws rather than God's, to attempt to drive us either to despair, guilt, or unbelief, or complete idolatry. Don't listen to it. Don't listen to the flesh or the devil. Listen to the Word of God. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Do you believe this? If you do, then good. This is the gift of God given you by grace through faith. Sure, we might need to pray from time to time, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." Yet by God's grace through faith, we are saved. Now we can be of good cheer. It is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. So have no fear, dear friends in Christ. Our God-given faith has made us well. Therefore, it is of vital importance to remember the Reformation and its clarion call. It is important to be and to remain a member of the Lutheran Church, for while it is true that there are Christians wherever Christ is proclaimed, often those other churches will point you back to the law or to your feelings and will rob you of the peace that passes all human understanding that you could have. This is most often done by making salvation dependent on something you do or feel or don't do or don't feel. Therefore, we Lutherans are never pointed to ourselves for our salvation, for our comfort, but rather always pointed to Jesus and where He comes to us through His gifts, His means of grace. Jesus has promised to be in His Word. In fact, He is the Word made flesh in our stead. His Word joined to water, as we are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And His Word joined to bread and wine, as we are given His very body and blood that was shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins in with and under the bread and wine, not to be figured out how it happens, but to be received totally in faith because Jesus said, "This is." And so daily we are to live in our baptism, that is to die with Christ and rise that new creature again every day, all the time. And to have our souls nourished and refreshed by the rich forgiveness offered in the Lord's Supper as we receive Jesus. He joins Himself to us, grafting us branches that were dead in our sins onto the vine and giving us life. Your sins and my sins in Christ are forgiven. all these gifts are delivered, Jesus, to us and for us and for our salvation. For you see, only we, the descendants of the Reformation, recipients of the Book of Concord and students of the Holy Scripture and children of the Heavenly Father, receive Christ's gifts to strengthen our faith with nothing for us to add. For Reformation Day is for rejoicing in the person God has made us by grace through faith in His only begotten Son, and for celebrating all we are freely given, again, by God's grace through faith on account of Christ Jesus, our risen, ascended, and returning Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is in His name that we have peace today and every day. And so in His name we pray. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.